Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220 The Word, and coming out of Cleveland, Ohio, and hopefully reaching everybody in Tampa, Florida on Faith Talk 570 910 WTBN as well tonight. I want to wish a Merry Christmas to everybody who's listening here on Christmas Eve. And I said coming in, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. We are getting snow up here in northeastern Ohio. I don't know what it's like down in Florida right now, but we're getting a bunch of snow up here. We had snow coming down. We were under a winter weather advisory up here in northeastern Ohio in our county, Summit County and Cuyahoga County, where I'm at now with the radio station. And it was coming down. Some friends of ours were headed south, and they said it took them over an hour to, well, I guess about an hour and a half to get home, and normally took them about an hour where they were going to. But it was just coming down, and a lot of traffic on the road, though, for being Christmas Eve, late at night on Christmas Eve, and with as much snow as coming down out there. So I hope that wherever you're at, you're keeping safe on the roadways. And if it's snowing and everything, and this snow's covering a large swath of the Midwest tonight, and it's coming through for a while, a lot of the country's going to have a white Christmas here tomorrow morning. Well, actually, about 54 minutes, I guess, or 56, yeah, 54 minutes, somewhere like that, will be actually Christmas Day. Well, I want to welcome you to the program tonight. Just a reminder that you can tune in and watch us online at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. We're broadcasting live on Facebook tonight, as well as on the air here this evening. And I hope the program will be a blessing to you tonight. One of the things that we're going to do this evening, I want to do it in the first half hour of the program, is I've got a booklet that I put together some years ago called The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures, and I'm going to read through that here tonight as well. Before we get to that, just again want to remind you, we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we had a really wonderful time today. We had our regular service in the morning, and then we had our Bible study our Christmas Eve candlelight service tonight. And want to also let you know about our website for the radio program, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find past programs there available that you can listen to on livewithpastoral.com. And I wanted to direct you there because on Friday, on our Friday program, I combined our program with another program that comes on before us. For those of you who are in Northeast Ohio and you listen to AM 1220 The Word, I'm on Friday afternoons for a half an hour from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And Pastor John Lutz, he's the pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. He is on from 1 o'clock until 1:30, and every once in a while, we combine our two programs, so we get an hour's worth of programming that way. And so I was on with him from 1 until 1:30, and then he was on with me from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And basically, we talked about a variety of things dealing with Christmas on the two programs. We kind of loosely covered the meaning, the myths, and misunderstandings about Christmas. And I want to recommend, if you get a chance to go online to listen to them, in the first half hour, part one is how it's listed on our webpage at live.com. with, or I'm sorry, yeah, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find listed there as part one. We deal a lot with Jeremiah chapter 10 and whether or not it refers to the Christmas tree, and as well as talking a little bit about whether early Christians celebrated Christmas and some of the significance and importance that people have had in regards to Christmas in the past, and whether or not we should celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th. And then in the second part, you can see it as part two, that was the program from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, we continue talking about the significance of Christmas and how we celebrate it. We were going to get more into the topic of whether or not Jesus was born on December 25th, talked about a little bit, we may touch on that some more tonight, but we actually wound up spending a good bit of time talking about the importance of the birth of Christ, and we looked at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, as well as its fulfillment in Luke chapter 1, verse 30 and 33, and in specific, one of the things that we discussed there is the fact that Jesus Christ, the Bible said, would come not only in the tribe of Judah as a descendant of David, but as Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7 says, it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there should be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. In other words, he'd sit on the throne of David. And that's exactly what the angel told Mary in Luke chapter 1, where she was told that the Lord God shall give it give unto him, meaning Jesus, the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So we may talk about that a little bit more tonight as well. So we talked about that in considerable detail there. So one of the reasons we did that is heard somebody recently adamantly claiming that the Bible never says Jesus would sit on the throne of David and accusing somebody of being divisive for even daring to suggest that, except that in as I said, in Isaiah chapter 9 and Luke chapter 1, it specifically says that he was going to sit on the inherit the throne of David. And there's other passages that talk about as well. Well, we'll talk about some more of those things as well. But again, let me remind you that you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And I want to get into something here right now. We'll get to our phones here in a little bit, but I'll give out the numbers right now. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. But I want to read the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures here during this first half hour. And if I don't get into it now, I'll run out of time. So we're going to go ahead and read this. And then we'll open up the phone lines, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, or maybe something about Christmas and some of the things we've been talking about, some of the things we read about. But this is the birth of Christ according to the Scriptures. And let me remind you, too, that you can download this. You can get this for free as an ebook on our from our website, livewithpastoral.com. It doesn't cost anything. It's available. It's nothing but scripture. It's something that we developed when we were in the Samoan Islands as missionaries for some things that we were doing there. Excuse me. We had this set up in order to be able to do something special for Christmas Eve, and I've expanded it over the years. It started with something that I found where somebody tried to compile a list of verses and passages dealing with the birth of Christ. And so also want to mention, if you're watching on Facebook Live, sometimes the video part of it scrambles. Part of it is because we're here at the station and the, I guess it's trying to put too much information through the same wire, I guess is a good way to explain it. But it gets a little overwhelmed, I think. They're supposed to be upgrading the service here at the station sometime. So I apologize for that. Nothing really we can do about that ourselves. So you'll get a lot of pixelation on that. So apologize. Sometimes it comes in good. Sometimes it don't. One of these days, hopefully, that'll be fixed up. Well, here we go. This is the birth of Christ according to the Scriptures. The Bible says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad this saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and he shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of the Lord was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. But Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. That's the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures. And like I said, if you visit our website at livewithpastoral.com, there's some links there. You can get a free download, a free ebook where I put this together. And it's been a blessing to us at our church. It's been a blessing at our nursing home service. Read it there this afternoon. We read it at our church for our Christmas Eve service tonight, candlelight service. And a number of other people have downloaded the book and obtained copies of it one way or another over the years and have told me how much that they've enjoyed it. We don't get anything for making it available except the satisfaction of knowing that it'll be a blessing to you. Makes a great devotional, great family reading. Even though of a church that was using this, their youth were using this, reciting the various scripture passages and then singing some appropriate Christmas carols in between those passages. But I hope it was a blessing to you tonight. I hope you'll stick with us this evening. We've got more to talk about. We're coming up on a break here, though, and we'll be here till midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation. Our telephone number again, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll open up the phone lines in the next half hour. Also want to mention a couple of things too here this evening. We're going to try and touch on some stuff about our program and the future of our program with the end of the year coming up, and we've got the new year coming. I will be live on New Year's Eve, and we will be here, Lord willing, and we will continue on here after the break. So God bless. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, good evening. Welcome back to the second half of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you here until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. Our telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question with the about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here tonight. Maybe you got something to talk about, a question about Christmas or something there that we've been talking about. I read the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scripture in the last half hour. Maybe there was something in there that prompted a question or a wonder about something. We can deal with some of that as well. But again, want to remind you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about myself. Also, you can link to the webpage for our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can also find out listen to some of the past programs that we have here from not only Sunday nights, but also our Friday afternoon program. I know not everybody hears our Friday afternoon program, but we're on every Friday from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And as I pointed out at the beginning of the program in the last half hour, this past Friday, I'd like to recommend our programs from this past Friday because I did a combined program with Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. He's on from 1 until 1:30 on Friday afternoon, just before us. I come out to 1:30 till 2. We combined our programs and we talked about some of the meaning, myths, and misunderstandings about Christmas during that time frame. Also want to remind you, pray for us here with the program. We're coming up on the end of the year, and we're a small church. It was kind of nice Friday night. We actually had to get out a couple of extra chairs for our Friday night Bible study, and we had a really good turnout at our Christmas Eve candlelight service tonight. And so as a consequence, that was kind of nice to see. People don't understand how small our church is. You really don't. We're smaller than most churches are when they decide that it's time to close the doors. But we're where we're at because we believe God wants us to be there. He's kept the doors open, and he's opened the opportunity for us to be on the air. And so I encourage people to pray for our church, because if it wasn't for our church being behind this and supporting this ministry, I would not be able to be on the air, either in Northeast Ohio or in the Tampa Bay area, and in places in between that pick us up on the radio or online. And the reason I mention this is because we are in need of prayer. I do tell people the best way you can help support the program is to pray for our church, because I would love dearly for our church to be able to support and continue to support to both the Northeast Ohio outreach and the Tampa Bay outreach. However, facts being what they are, and I know Christmas time coming up and all, not trying to throw a wet blanket on things, but I was talking with those involved in keeping us on the air in Tampa, and essentially if the funds aren't there, we've got one more month in Tampa, and I hate to put it that way, but that's where the facts are. And we were hoping that Tampa would become either sponsored by somebody. We were hoping that there might eventually be somebody who would sponsor the program, because what I don't want to do, and I try not to do, is spend time fundraising. One thing my wife reminds me, I can't fundraise. I can't do it. I'm not a fundraiser. I tried, and I praise God that despite my efforts, some people have given in the past to keep us on the air in Tampa, and it's been special gifts that's kept us on the air, got us there in the first place and kept us there. But what ideally would be great is to be supported in such a sense that we don't have to come on and say, hey, we got 30 days and that's all we've got and we're going to be off. Our church can support the Northeast Ohio radio market, At the time that we went with our extended our contract in Tampa, our church looked like it was reaching the point where we might actually be able to support the Tampa program as well. But, you know, long and short of it, we lost about well over $500 a month in income since the time we made that decision, actually close to $900. And, you know, God has made up enough in other areas to keep us on, but that made the difference for what we were thinking we would have for Tampa. So that's why I say it's a two-pronged thing. If you pray for our church that God would grow our church, we would be able to be able to do things there. But at the same time, also recognize that there are people who like to give, and at this time of year, you know, we're looking at, I was listening to some people discussing the tax bill that came out, and some people are suggesting that their tax deductions are going to change in 2018, and they're encouraging them to make some charitable gifts and prepay some of their mortgage payments and things like that before 2017 ends, so that they can get the maximum benefit from that. So if God touches you in that respect, you know, hey, you know, that's great, but we don't want you to take money that goes to your local church. And let me make that clear. If God has blessed you and you're in a local church, you need to support that church. Your first responsibility is to your local church and your family, and that's your spiritual family and also your physical family. That's your responsibility before you ever look at any radio program, ours or anybody else's, any ministry outside of your local church. You should be taking care of your local church needs and your family's needs first and foremost. That's a given. But if you're blessed and you're looking for something and God touches your heart, you know, our mailing address is Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. And that's the Bible Baptist Church is all you would have to do. We need about $735 a month to support the Tampa program. And probably even with just $500 a month, we'd be able to maintain that, our church be able to make up the rest of that. But like I said, it's Bible Baptist Church and is our church. And you can just note that it's for a radio program or Live with Pastor Al. And the mailing address is Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. That's Bible Baptist Church, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. And well, I'll leave it at that. If God touches your heart to help out, but most importantly, my wife and I, when we were missionaries going to the mission field, we were what was called faith missionaries, and we went by faith. We traveled, we visited churches, we let people know what our ministry was about, what we hoped to do for the Lord, and we had churches that supported us and took care of our needs. We did not receive a salary. And it's the same thing with the radio program. We trust God to support the needs of it. Well, I've gone on a lot longer than I care to about raising funds, probably why I'm not a fundraiser, but we're going to get back to our calls tonight. And again, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Merry Christmas to everybody. Give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Jeremiah calling in tonight. Jeremiah, welcome to the program this evening.
Thank you.
Hi, yeah, good evening.
Yeah, being Christmas, actually, you know, it's the real reason for the season is, you know, Jesus' birth. You know, he was brought into this world to save us.
Absolutely. Jesus, as you said, is the real reason for the season, as they say. We would not be here on this program. We would not be doing this if it weren't for the birth of Christ. And, you know, people did, you know, look at and talk about the birth of Christ. And you know, the question comes as to whether or not they celebrated it in the early church. But they absolutely did talk about it, because after all, if you open up your Bible, you can see in the first century they cared about it enough that God had at least Matthew and Luke write about it in explicit detail. So the birth of Christ and other things mentioned about it in the scriptures, of course, too.
Yeah, I have my Bible open, King James Bible.
Yes, sir.
To the book of Acts, chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 14.
Acts chapter 2?
I mean chapter 1.
Oh, chapter 1. Okay.
14.
Uh-huh. All right, let me get turned over there. Acts chapter 1, verse number 14, where the Bible says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren."
It says Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Correct.
I take it she was there.
Yes. Yeah, there was quite a number of people who were gathered together there in the room there. Because if you remember, here in Acts chapter 1, Jesus had ascended up into heaven, remember? And he had told them that they should wait there in Jerusalem until they were endued with power. You can see that in, they were talking with him in verse number 6, and they asked him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." And so they were there, and let me look up here just a little bit here. I should have read verse 5 there. It said, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And so they were there to tarry and waiting until this power came upon them. And so it wasn't just the 11 disciples that were left. They were there along with a number of others. And in fact, it says in verse 15, "In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," and then it says in parentheses, "the number of names together were about 120. So there's about 120 people there, and Mary, Jesus' mother, is there along with, the Bible says, his brethren. And his brethren there are listed in, the end of verse 13, there's Judas, the brother of James, I believe, as distinct from the other ones there, because James, the book of James, and then the little book of Jude, those were the half-brothers of Jesus Christ. Their mother was Mary, their father was Joseph, but of course Jesus, his mother was Mary, and he had no earthly father.
Of course we know Judas betrayed Jesus.
Well, no, that's not the same Judas. That's the other Judas that had died. He was not there at this time.
Oh, okay.
The name Jude or Judas was a common name. Now, we don't think of naming a young man Judas today because of the connotation, just like women would not want to be named Jezebel today because of the connotation of those names. But Jude or Judas was a common name, as was James. And actually, Jesus itself was a fairly common name in those days. Jesus, Joseph, James, Jude or Judas, those were fairly common names.
So in verse 8, when Jesus says, the power after that, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is, of course, once you get saved, you'll have the Holy Spirit in you.
Oh, absolutely, yes. He takes up residence on this side of the cross, of course, at the time of salvation. Yeah, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit enters into your heart, and he takes up residence in you. You're not only indwelt by the Spirit of God. In fact, Paul says in Romans 8:9, "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not saved. Some people think you get saved and at some later date you get the Holy Spirit. That's contrary to the Scripture.
So I take it the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is the same thing.
Some people try to distinguish with them, and I've had some people bring that up, and I've looked into it, and there's passages in the Scripture where Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost are used interchangeably in the same passage, and it's clear that they're referring to the same entity, which is God, this, you know, God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, these three are one. The Bible says there's one God, and we've got, you know, these three aspects to his being, our three persons of the Godhead. And so we have them there represented as, like I said, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Spirit, ghost, they're synonymous terms. Some people, like I said, try to distinguish between the two as looking to see. Here's one in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I think. There's others. Actually, we're in Acts chapter 1. Let's just go to Acts chapter 2, real close by here, okay? And you can see where the terms are synonymous. In Acts chapter 2, in verse number 4, notice what it says here. And they're there in the day of Pentecost, and this is what they were told to wait for. Remember, he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, here in Acts chapter 2, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, it's got Holy Ghost and Spirit being synonymous there. We can also see this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, where Paul writes, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And again, they're used synonymously there. Let's go back a little bit here in John. The Gospel of John, we have in John chapter 1, the Bible says this, and I knew him not. This is John the Baptist speaking here in referring to Jesus. Remember, John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. He says in John chapter 1, verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And then later in John chapter 7, in verse 39, it says this, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And in these cases, Spirit and Ghost are both capitalized, and they're used synonymously. And I tried tracking back to where this distinction between the Spirit and the Ghost comes in, and other than the word that's being used here, It seems that there was some controversy back in the medieval ages. I'm trying to remember some of this. I haven't looked at it in a while. But there was some controversy in the medieval ages where I think it was some Catholic priests that they become, I guess, obsessed with the difference between ghost and spirit, and some arguing that one of them was something different than the other. In fact, if you look in many of these cases, for instance, John chapter 1, verse 33, where John the Baptist said, thou shalt see the Spirit descending, Spirit there comes from the Greek word pneuma. And then when it says, the same as he which baptized with the Holy Ghost, ghost is also the same Greek word. And, you know, when you look at the word spirit and the word ghost, they're synonymous. You know, a ghost is a spirit. A spirit is a ghost. We have the expression, giving up the ghost, meaning to die. When the spirit departs from your body, you die. And so it's the same difference there, ghost and spirit, synonymous terminology. And you can see this in some of the other passages as well, where it's the same word. And I'm just curious here in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And again, in this particular passage here, ghost and spirit, again, is the same term. The other one that I had looked at, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 3, ghost and spirit, again, are the same word. And I think people are kind of splitting hairs making too much of this because some people suggest that the word ghost has a kind of spooky connotation that spirit doesn't have. And then to other people, spirit has a spooky connotation that ghost doesn't have. And they try to say, well, the word the Holy Ghost was not known in the Old Testament because the word doesn't appear there, and they come up with all kinds of reasons for trying to say that they're two different things. But fact of the matter is, they come from the same word, and I don't see any reason why people should make a distinction from them today. So
I appreciate you answering my question. You have a blessed Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Jeremiah. I appreciate that. And Merry Christmas to you as well. Have a blessed Christmas. And I do thank you for that call. And these are things we look at. You know, the idea is that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is the third person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible said Genesis chapter 1, that he was going to make man in his image. Well, what is God? He's a three-part being. There's three persons to the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Each one is God. And people come up with various ways trying to explain and understand what we call the Trinity or the Godhead. And I think it's perfectly understandable when you look there with the first man that was created, Adam, in Genesis chapter 2. The Bible says that in verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, and he formed a body there." That's comparable to the Son of God. God took on the form of a man. We celebrate at Christmas time the birth, the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then it says that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The word breath there is synonymous with the word that's used for spirit or ghost. And that would be synonymous, the life force and all, synonymous with the Holy Spirit there. And then he became a living soul, which would be analogous to God the Father. So we have the three parts of God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, represented in the three parts of a man: body, soul, and spirit. You are a three-part being. You have a body, which is you. You have a soul, which is you. You have a spirit, which is you. And each three is distinct from the other, but each of the three is you. Just like each of the three is distinct of the other in the Godhead, but each of the three is God. One God manifest in three persons. Well, you're manifest as a soul, a spirit, and a body. Each of them is you, but they form a complete whole, just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each of them is God, forming a complete whole in the Godhead. Well, hadn't planned on getting into the Trinity or the Godhead so much there on this Christmas Eve, but it's good to understand these things. And that's why God took on the form of a man, so that he could live the life that we couldn't live, so that he could obey the law in every detail from the very beginning, born without a sin nature, where he willingly went to the cross, and he suffered and died and shed his blood to pay for our sins. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. That's why he came into the world on that Christmas day. Is it important what day we celebrate Jesus' birthday on? Probably not. Is it important that we acknowledge that he came into the world? Absolutely. As I said to somebody at church tonight, I said, whether or not Jesus came into the world on December 25th, many years ago, the important thing is, this is a time when people are willing to listen to you talk about what the Bible has to say. This is a time when people who won't go to church any other time of the year will go to church, and we can share with them that precious gift of Jesus Christ. I hope you know him as well. Thanks for listening. God bless. Merry Christmas.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.